Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Ben Humphries.
G'day, everyone. Really good to see you. How's everyone out the back? We trust they're doing okay. Can you see them from there? Oh, you can't see them. Well, God bless you. It's great to be here. I'm going to preach today about the parable of the sower. And this year, our vision is seasons. And we've been preaching into different seasons, and we're in winter right now. And I just think that winter is all about sowing seeds. And I come from a farming family, and my wife comes from a farming family. And all the farmers I know, when it gets close to winter, they are sowing seeds in the ground. And that's what I just believe about winter, is that God has seeds that he has sown into our lives, and he's sowing into your life. I want to preach about that today and about what that is. And does that sound good? Excellent. Thank you, Michael. I reckon we could probably wrap it up there. That'll be great. Thank you. Big round of applause. Thank you, Mike. The parable of the sower. It tells a story of the amazing promise of God in just one seed, in one grain of seed. And it parallels the natural seeds that are sown with the spiritual seeds that God sows into our lives. You know, where one natural grain can produce up to 100 extra grains, new grains, so that one word from God can produce an incredible, abundant harvest in our lives. So let's just jump in and read. As we read the parable, let's read some Bible verses, shall we? In Matthew 13, it says this in verse 3, Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. You see, Jesus spoke a lot in parables. And the parables, we weren't always meant to immediately understand what Jesus was saying. They were meant to draw you in. They were meant to make you go away and think, what was he actually really talking about there? What was he actually really saying? And Jesus was telling this parable to the disciples. And of course, you guessed it, they didn't really understand what he's saying. And so Jesus had to go back again and explain it to them. And it says a little bit further on in Matthew 13, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. You see, God is sowing into our hearts. And this is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. But when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil is someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. You see, the seed that Jesus is talking about is the word of God. It's the word of God that he's sown out into your life and into my life. And what is the word of God? Well, it's the promise of salvation. It's the promise of salvation. It's the good news about Jesus and his kingdom. That's the word of God. It's the timeless message of redemption and eternal life. You see, and when we were saved, when we have an awareness of God, when we're saved, we have that seed of God buried in the soil of our hearts. That message of salvation, that message of the gospel. And salvation alone is incredible. It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. It's beyond anything we could, you know, hope or dream or imagine. But our salvation is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. It's more than just going to heaven one day. You see, God has planted a seed of gifting and purpose and destiny in every single one. And he has a plan for your life for greatness and for that seed to grow into something incredible. In Romans 12, verse 3, it says, "For by the grace given me," this is Paul talking, "by the grace given me," he's saying that God has deposited grace into his heart. He says, "By the grace given to me, I say to everyone, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each one of you." And I'm preaching today that God has deposited his grace into your life. The seeds of promise, the seeds of his purpose for your life, he has deposited a portion of grace and faith into our heart. You see, we've all been given a measure of grace and faith, and our salvation is the beginning of what you were born for here on earth. As incredible as our salvation is, it's much more. We have much more from what God is wanting to do in our lives. You know, it's the Great Commission to take the message of Jesus to the ends of the earth. It's the building up of the church till each one grows to the fullness of Christ. That's the word of God planted in your heart. And, you know, all through the Bible, you see people that God has sown seeds of purpose. God has sown seeds of promise. God has sown seeds into hearts. All through the Bible, you can see different stories. Moses is a great example of one, and when in the book of Acts, Stephen was preaching a message and he mentions Moses, and he says, "Now when he was 40 years old, when Moses was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel." And you see, with Moses' story, he was raised in Pharaoh's palace, so he had a privileged upbringing. But something in his heart, there was some seeds of promise and purpose in his heart, something that says that it came into his heart to go and visit his brethren. That was the Israelites. And so the story is that he went out to visit the Israelites, his brethren, the Hebrews, and he saw that one of them was being oppressed by an Egyptian. And something stirred in his heart. You see, because God had put something in his heart, something stirred in his heart, and he saw what was happening, and it says that he killed the Egyptian. Probably not the best way to deal with that situation. If you find yourself in that situation, maybe don't do what Moses did. But you see, God had called and purposed him to be a deliverer. God had put the seeds in Moses' heart to be a deliverer of his people. Where his people were oppressed, Moses was sent by God to deliver them and to set them free. And there was something in his heart that was beginning to grow, that was beginning to take, where the seeds were beginning to form and to beginning to grow. And then it says the next day, when Moses went back to see his people two of his own, the Hebrews, the Israelites, two of his own brothers were fighting. And I think it must have been showdown week or something. And so these two guys were fighting. And Moses saw them. He went and broke it up. And he said, "Guys, what's going on? You shouldn't be fighting against each other. What's happening?" And they kind of pushed back a bit against Moses and said, "Well, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to treat us like that guy you killed yesterday?" And Moses got a bit scared and afraid, and he ran away. There was more in his heart. He was also called to be a judge and a priest among his people. And those are the seeds that God had put in his heart. And you could see that they were beginning, in that time, you could see that they were beginning to grow and beginning to emerge, but it wasn't quite Moses' time yet. Those seeds needed to develop. But you could see them there. And I believe that for all of us, we all have the seeds of God planted in our lives in so many different things and so many different areas in terms of gifting and calling and purpose. And I want to preach into that today. I want to preach into that. What has God planted in our hearts and in our lives? And in the parable of the sower, Matthew, Mark, and Luke have three different unique perspectives about the seed and the good soil. You see, they all tell the same parable. They all describe that the disciples didn't really quite understand what was going on. But they have three amazing viewpoints about the seed and the soil. In Matthew, when Matthew tells the story, it says in Matthew 13, 23, "But he who received the seed," the word from God into their life, "he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it." He who hears and understands, that's Matthew's perspective. He's saying that when the word of God is sown into our hearts, we need to hear it and understand. What is God saying into my life? What has God planted into my life? What has God planted in your life? Let's have an understanding about that. What does that mean to be saved? What does that mean? What has he called me to? And that's Matthew's idea. But in Mark, he has a little bit of a different perspective. In Mark 4:20, it says, "But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word and accept it." Other versions say, "Receive it." And so Mark is saying that when God sows his word into our life, there's got to be a receiving in our own life, and a receiving and saying, "Yes, God, I accept that word into my life. I accept what you've sown into my life." It's a little bit of a different perspective. Luke, again, has something slightly different. Luke says, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart." Who has a noble and good heart? One or two, that's good. That's all right. "Those who hear the word with a noble and good heart, keep it. Keep it and bear fruit with patience." That word "keep it" also means to hold fast. And so I just think that's amazing. That these three guys have a unique perspective about what God has sown into our life. And what I'm saying today is that God has sown his seeds of his word into your life, into my life. And the Gospels here show a three-dimensional aspect of what that means for us. See, the ones who produce a harvest are those who understand the word, those who receive the word, and those who hold fast to what God has sown into our lives. And so let's start with Matthew. "But he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. You see, Jesus here is using language like the prophets, like Isaiah and Jeremiah, where they would speak the word of God in their generation, but people around wouldn't always hear it. They wouldn't always take it to heart. They would hear the words, but they didn't understand it. And Jesus says that some people will hear the word of God, but it may have a limited impact in them. And Matthew's point is that we need to understand the word of God in our hearts. You know, let's be a generation of people who know the word of God in our time and season. And when the time came for Moses, you know, something just instinctively just gelled in his heart. But he had to go away for 40 years and to mature and develop. And hopefully for us, it doesn't take 40 years. Hopefully we can begin to understand what is unique about you, what is great about you, what the amazing seeds that God has put in your life. The Greek word for understanding is suneme. Can we say suneme? There it is. That's good. That's this word understanding. And it means to bring together or to set together. To bring all to a conclusion, to a set plan for action. And in the Septuagint, which is an ancient Greek translation of the Old Testament, it's often good to look at that because you can see corresponding words between the New Testament and the Old Testament, which was originally in Hebrew. But in the Septuagint, that Greek word that is used here, this suneme word, the same word is used for understanding in Exodus when God instructs Moses to build the tabernacle. And there were artisans called by God to make everything for the tabernacle. And in Exodus 35, it says, "He has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and the designer and the tapestry maker and the candlestick maker." No, sorry, I added that one. In blue, in purple, and scarlet thread and fine linen and the weaver. And those who do every work, and those who design artistic works. And Bezalel and Aholiab, and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding. God had put wisdom and understanding into these guys' lives. To know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. You know, they were gifted and called by God to do all manner of work, just the same as we are. It says that they had understanding, that they made everything from the Ark of the Covenant to the mercy seat, the lampstand, the tent, the veil, the post, you know, the pegs, everything. But they heard the word of God and they understood their role to play. You see, to understand, to bring together, to set together, this is where we develop an awareness of our gifting and our dreams and our desires and our ministry. You know, because when we preach the gospel, it's so much more than, you know, perhaps preaching on a street corner. And I'm not against that. That's great. But preaching the gospel, we're showcasing all of who God is. All of who God is. And there is so much that God has gifted into our lives. And you know, it's everything. It's justice. It's compassion, it's worship, it's generosity, it's kindness, it's loving people, all of these things. And all of us have different gifting and different strengths in some of these different areas. And when we understand what God has put into our heart and into our lives, together we showcase who God is around about us. Together, when we have an understanding that you know, you might have a gift in compassion, well, that's an incredible. You're preaching the gospel to that area. You know, it might not be on a street corner, but you're speaking loudly that God is a kind and compassionate God. You see, in all of the things, we can have an understanding of how God's made us and created us, and we can do an incredible job of showing who God is and preaching the gospel. You know, Matthew developed his gift of writing and teaching. His secular job was to tax fishermen like Peter, James, and John. And I always love it how Jesus put all these guys together. But the thing about Matthew is that he was educated. He was one of very few and rare people that could read and write. And while other people maybe saw an unpopular and unloved tax collector, but Jesus saw a writer who could tell the world about the kingdom of God. And in his gospel, you can see a gift of teaching come alive. The way he writes about, you know, the genealogy of Jesus is unique. His Sermon on the Mount is unique. The Beatitudes, the way he writes about it is unique. You see, he shows an incredible understanding of Jesus and the new covenant. But you see, Matthew found what he was born for. He found what he was born for. He found what was why Jesus had put him in that place for. And so what are some practical things that are going to help us understand the seeds that God has planted? One thing could be, what areas do you sense the presence of God in? Or what do you find that is comes easy for you, perhaps? You know, maybe you could use the example of, you know, do doors just open easily? Or do I have to bash the doors open? You know, where are the areas where I perhaps feel close to God? Well, that can be an indicator of understanding what your gift is. You know, do you feel close to God when you're caring for people? Or does that maybe not work, gel real well with you? You know, do you feel close to God when you're singing like an angel? Or does that maybe not work so well with you? You know, what are some of the areas where you just feel near to God? That can be an idea about, you know, what is understanding how God's made us and what he is. Another thing, what do other people see in you? You know, what are other people? That can always be really good to see what are other people, you know, people, you know, maybe would encourage you, say, you did a great job at doing that. That can be really helpful. Or if they don't say anything, well, maybe that's an idea that, you know, maybe don't do that. But no, what do other people say about you? That can always be good to be an idea of, you know what, you're actually really great at that. You're actually really great at that. And so that can help us understand how God's made us and what seeds he's planted into our life. Here's another thing. What do you have a unique burden for? What is something that you feel strongly about? You know, there's something all of us feel strongly about different things. You know, you could be in a conversation with somebody and they'll be saying, man, I just really, you know, fired up about this thing. And other people will think, oh, I'm not really fired up about that. But what about you? There's always something that, you know, that really stirs us up. And sometimes you can even feel a bit annoyed about things. Well, that can be an indicator that God has put that into your life. And, you know, you want to actually really concentrate on that. And you know, that's something where that can be a seed that God has put into your life. Moses kind of had that a bit, where he saw the Hebrews getting oppressed and something rose up into him. He said, no, that's not right. I need to change that. And that can be an idea of what seeds has God planted. Sometimes it's what are those burdens and things that just kind of rise up in our heart. Another thing that can be an indicator is what has been prophesied or spoken over your life, the word of God spoken over your life. And it's not always the be-all and end-all, because if it doesn't sit well with you, then you don't have to take that on. But if there's a word of God spoken over your life and that actually just really resonates with you and it lines up with maybe some things that other people have said, then that's the word of God spoken over your life, you know what? And you can take a hold of that and you can begin to understand, yeah, God, you have put this seed in my life, and I can give attention to that. You know, what is the word of God spoken over your life? Here's another thing. What do you feel God whispering or prompting, you know, or leading from the Holy Spirit in your life and in your heart? You know, God will always just bring it. Similar when God will bring a word into your life, maybe somebody else will speak a word of God over your life. That's what also just needs to line up with what are you feeling in your own heart. Is the whisper of God, you know, saying that in your life as well? What has God been speaking into your life? That can be, you know, an indicator of what seeds God's planted in you. And of course, you know, what are some spiritual gifts that you identify with? And You know, you'd have to probably read Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4 and, you know, and get with a group of people to help you with that. But, you know, we can read the Word of God and say, I identify with these different gifts. I feel like I could prophesy over people's life to encourage people, you know, to bring some real, so the goodness of God into people's life. You know, but you might find that when you're reading the Bible and you see those lists of the spiritual gifts. And there's actually some surveys and things that you can do. That you know that we could help you with and so on. But there are things that we can just begin to understand. What are the gifts that God has put into my life? Because God has sown good seeds into your heart, into your life. And Matthew was saying, we need to have an understanding about that. You know, an understanding about what does that mean? How does that work? You know, and ultimately, we're all here to love God and love people. So you have a unique gift from God to love people in an incredible way that nobody else can. You have an incredible gift from God to love people, to inspire people, to bless people. That is a supernatural gift from God that only you can bring into someone's life. And you know what? You will find a sense of fulfillment in doing that. You know, and God will open doors for you. You won't have to bash them down. And so all of these things, and there's probably other examples of understanding who we are, how we're made, what we do. But all of these things, like that word Suname said, all of these things combined will point to a certain direction. They'll point to a certain area. They'll reveal a particular ministry or an area of ministry that can be set together and bring together to bring glory to God. So that was Matthew. That was Matthew. And that's incredible. Now, Mark. Mark says, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You see, that word there, to accept it, it means to accept or to receive the word. It means to receive with approval, also to carry or to lift up, also to confess. And, you know, when God sows a word into our life, there's a thing where we just actually need to accept it and to receive what God has sown into our life. And everything in the kingdom starts with a seed, you know, and then it germinates, it sprouts, it develops, and we have a harvest. And there's a process there. But Jesus also tells another parable about the parable of the talents, where the master gives a portion of 5 and 2 and 1 talents to his servants. And a talents was a balance of weight that could be gold or silver or coins. But he gave out the talents to each according to their ability. And with those that had 5 and 2 talents invested it and produced more than they started with. But the servant with 1 talent buried it and produced nothing. But you see, God has given each one of us talents or weight according to our ability. It doesn't matter if we have 5 or 2 or 1. It's not a comparison thing. God has given according to our ability. God has given according to what's unique to you. God has given into your heart and into your life according to our ability. You see, and God sows into our lives and entrusts us with gifts and tasks and stewardships. You know, we've got to receive that. Say, God, I want to thank you for putting this on my life. I want to carry this. I want to carry this because you've given it into my heart and into my life. You know, really the parable of the talent says, grab a hold of that, accept it, receive it, take it for the gift that it is that it's for, to invest it, use it, but don't put it off to the side or don't bury it. You know, God has given it. We need to carry that and be grateful about that. See, God has deposited into your life and we need to use what he's given and trusted us with. And you know, there needs to be a response. A response from us to God and to receive and say, yes, God, I take this on. You know, Mark wasn't one of the disciples, but he was good close mates with Peter, the Apostle Peter. And Mark's gospel often gets called, you know, the gospel of Peter because he's speaking about Peter's words in lots of different situations. You can see Peter coming through the pages. And when you look at Peter's attitude, when he walks on the water, you know, the disciples were trying to cross the lake. There was a storm that had come up, and then Jesus came walking on the water towards them, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. You know, there was a storm. Somebody was walking across the water, and Peter, he always has such an incredible attitude, and Peter says, Jesus, if it's you, say the word. If it's you, say the word, and I'll step out of the boat. And of course, Jesus says, well, come on, let's go, step out of the boat. And Peter says, yes, I received that word and I step out of the boat. And he responded to what Jesus had spoken into our hearts. And I think that's what Mark is saying, that we will receive what God says into our hearts. That there'll be a response to say, yes, God, I take that for your word, and I'm going to run with that. So what are a couple of things that we can do to accept and receive what God has put into our life? Well, the first thing would be just to have some humility. And, you know, the true sense of humility isn't just to be, oh, well, I'm just no good, or I'm just, you know, I'm okay. No, just to accept the grace of God that he's put into our hearts, into our lives. True humility is to accept the grace of God on your life. You know, things are never meant to be in our own strength anyway. It's meant to be in the grace of God that God has put into your life. And so we just carry the grace of God that he's given us. We just take that on and we just accept it. We say, God, I want to thank you for this grace on my life. You see, Gideon's always a good story to talk about. This one, when God called Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And you know the story. He said, but, you know, I'm the weakest person from the weakest family, from the weakest tribe. And then God just says, well, I'll be with you and you'll defeat the Midianites. You know, but the thing is, you know, all through the Bible, God calls people that can't really do what he asked them to do. And that's the point, that we rely on his grace and we just be humble and say, well, thank you, God, for that. I'm going to take those seeds that you've sown into my life, and they're going to do something incredible for your glory. I don't know how it's going to happen, Lord, but I just trust that you're going to make it happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I just trust that you're going to bring healing in this situation. God, I don't know. You are God. I'm not God. And I just humbly accept, Lord, thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, God, that I can have faith in you, that you're the miracle worker. Thank you, God, that you today, that I don't know how this seed is going to grow into a big tree, but God, that's in God's hands. Right? That's not in our hands. You know, our hands is just to have a response and to be obedient to God and to step out and say, God, I want to thank you for this seed that you've sown into my life. And I want to see some fruit and some great harvest from it, God, because you're going to make it happen. And there was just that's humility. And sometimes you think, well, that's a little bit of pride or arrogance in there. No, it's just confidence in God. It's faith in God to say, God, you're going to do what you've said that you're going to do. And we just accept that and receive his grace. Another thing to do is to walk by faith. You know, we looked at Romans 12:3 before, where God has given each of us a portion of grace and a portion of faith. And, you know, we simply won't be able to function in what God has given into our lives without faith. There just has to be an element of faith when we step out of it. You see, there will always be an element of impossibility about what God has called us to do. There will always be steps that we take that are just going to have an element of impossibility about it, because the seeds that God has sown into your life are supernatural seeds. They're spiritual seeds, and God is going to bring to pass what he has sown into your life. And there'll always be, like Peter, of stepping out of the boat. There will always be an element of, well, we just got to take the step and trust God and have faith in God that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And so there's always going to be a question of walking by faith. And, you know, it's like, God, we just receive what you put in my life, and I just trust that you're going to bring it to pass. Another thing is just to be courageous, be strong and courageous. You know, there's not always going to be a red carpet, perhaps, rolled out for you. It's not always going to be easy, but we can be strong and courageous. Joshua was obviously a great example of that, where God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And we can just receive what God has spoken into our hearts. We can accept that and just be courageous about it. That the circumstances might not always look like what God has spoken into our lives. That things might not always look like it's going to be okay. It might not always be red carpet. But we can just be step out and be bold and courageous. So that's receiving and accepting what God has put in our lives. Luke says, but the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. The Greek word there for keep it means to hold fast. To hold fast. Because the cares of this world will always try and take it away from you. And see, Luke was a historian. He had a wide-angle lens. When Luke writes about Jesus, he goes all the way back to Adam. All the way back to the start of the Bible, and he goes backwards actually. He goes all the way back to Adam. And Luke goes on to write in the book of Acts about what happens after Jesus' ascension, about what happens in the early church and what happens in people's lives and how the church began and begin to grow. And so Luke was a historian. He had a, a wide-angle lens with what he was looking at. And so Luke is going to look at the long game. He's going to look at it and say, we need to hold fast from all the way from beginning to end. Hold fast. And he also uses medical language and pays attention to medical things. And Paul calls him the beloved physician. And, you know, he probably helped to fix Paul's wounds after his many beatings, perhaps. And so Luke is going to say to hang in there, to hang in there. Hold fast from beginning to end, because you're not finished yet. Not finished yet. You know, Luke is going to say, hold on, because there's a process from little seed to big tree. And we're not there yet, perhaps. So we got to, you guys could probably jump up, musos, you can jump up. We've got to hold fast, because there's a whole wide angle lens from starting from all the way to here to all the way to the end. And we've got to hold on. Wow, they're coming from all over the place today. That's good. Just walking out from everywhere. That's good, mate. You walk behind. That's all right. With your orange jumper. You just stop hiding. You just stand out a bit more, Michael. Hold fast. This word was used in Genesis when Abraham, when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, and Abraham, it says that Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram. That word there, took the ram, that's some hold fast. And he offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. You know, that ram was the promise of God that saved his son Isaac. And you know, when it says that he took the ram, it's the same word to hold fast. And I don't know if any of you have ever tried to hold on to a ram, but they don't like it. Let's just give you the strong tip. If you're trying to hold on to a ram, they are gonna run. They're just gonna try and just get away. And if you're ever going to try and hold on to one, you need to hang on. Hang on, hold fast. And, you know, the seed that God has planted in you is powerful. We don't have a weak message. The gospel about Jesus. He's our healer. He's a deliverer. He's our helper. He's your savior. We have a strong message. You have a strong gift from God, planted in you. We got a big message, a gracious message, a loving message, a message that people's hearts are just waiting to hear, crying out for it. It's a strong word. You've got a strong gift. You know what? We got to get a hold of that. Hang on to it. Like it's a ram caught in this thicket. Man, like, you need to be ready for that. Imagine thinking about grabbing that ram. You know it's going to run. You know it's going to, man, it's going to take some effort. You got to hit that thing like it's going to run. You see, and we've got something incredible to give it to the world. And it's sown in your heart. It's a seed that God has sown in your heart. And Luke says, hang on to it. Hold fast to it. You might have some ups and downs. You might have some good days, some bad days. And you know, that's always going to come. Don't worry about that. Just hang on. Hold fast that he's your healer. Hold fast that he's your redeemer. Hold fast that he's called you. Hold fast to the word of God that's sown into your life. A couple of quick things. How do we do that? One of the things we can do is to work with leadership. You know, the role and gift of leadership is to equip us for the work of ministry. That's the role of leadership. You see, and God doesn't endorse lone rangers. You know, we're all designed to depend on each other. And, you know, the short game is to bypass leadership, you know. But if you do that, you might crash and burn. In fact, you probably will. But it's God's design that leadership is how we grow to the measure of the fullness of Christ. And leadership is going to be able to help you. It's going to be able to help you to hold fast to what God has put into your life. And it's important to have leadership. It's important to have direction. It's important to have, you know, people be able to speak into your life and say, yeah, this gift you've got is really great. We'd love to help you with that. And, you know, you'll find that doors will open when you do that. You know, trying to go alone, it's hard work. It's not really God's design. God has designed for us to be able to work with leadership where we can hold fast and play the long game. Another thing is to just to think about our character and maturity. You know, you might have a great gift, but you haven't developed your character yet and your maturity that you need. Because you've got an incredible, like we said, you've got a strong gift. You've got a lot to give. But we need to be mature. We need the seed to grow into a strong plant. And that's going to take some maturity. We need to have some strong character to be able to see that thing through to the end. And, you know, Moses, once again, he had a great call of God in his life, but in his early years, he wasn't ready. He had to go away. And God would bring him to maturity, to bring him to the point where he could go into Pharaoh's court and say, let my people go. You know, that took a lot of strength and character and guts to do that. But it didn't happen straight away. It had to grow over time. The last thing we can do is think about endurance. Philippians 3:12. Not that I've already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. You know, there's a reason why you're here today. There's a reason why God has sown the seed of his word into your life, because Jesus has got a hold of your life for something incredible, for something amazing. And I pray today for all of us in this room or all who's listening that we will understand what God has sown into our life. That if we have an awareness and understanding of what God has put into us, well, then we can begin to, you know, set things into place. And things will begin to line up. You know, we'll begin to not feel like we're out of place, but we feel like you're in the right place, the right person, the right place at the right time. And we can have an understanding of what God's put into our life, and we can just receive the grace of God. You know, none of us want to feel like we're struggling. Who wants to feel like you're struggling? You know, that's hard work. You know, I don't want to feel like I'm struggling. I want to feel like I just received the word of God in my life, and I'm able to walk in that and step in that. And, you know, sometimes you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes there's things, but, you know, it's only a shadow. And we just receive the grace of God, and we walk through, and we've got to hold fast. I pray that we can hold fast to the word that God has sown in your life. And during this season, during this time, you know, even just we're going to have let the guys come up and we can sing. The worship today was incredible, you know, and it's just times like that too where we can just have just like the rain of God, just the just soak in his presence, you know, and in those times we can even just get a, you know, a sense of God in our life and a sense of God, what are these things that you've sown into my heart? Lord, let your water pour onto those things. So God bless you today. I want to thank you so much. You have an incredible gift. It doesn't matter who you are here today. Whoever's listening is, you know, we're all unique, and we all need to preach the gospel in the way that God has given into our lives. So I pray today that you can understand what God has sown into your life, that you can receive it, and you can run with it and hold fast. And God bless you as you do. I hope you're having an excellent week. Thank you so much for being here today, and amazing.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.